Hello and welcome back to our conversation about the unique callings God has given to us as men and women in his world. I am Pastor Ben Kratz and I serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Women's Ministry Committee. With me again today are three women from the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee. We go around the table and introduce ourselves real quick.
I'm Christy Meyer.
Naomi Schmidt.
And Dawn Schultz.
All right, we are back to talk about the first email of this week that follows the same format that it has for the past 12 weeks. First email is looking at the principle or some aspect of it a bit closer. And then our second email this week will take a closer look at its application. Our email this week was looking at or talking about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians about adiaphora, things that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. And how that begins to apply when we talk about the callings God has given to us. Maybe to start off, why isn't it always the best idea to start with that question, what can women do in the church?
So I know it's going to seem like we're backtracking a little bit because we have been talking about what women can do in the church, right? And this has been our constant refrain throughout the whole summer. And so I'll bring it up again. It's a both and. It's not you have to only ask the question, what can women do in the church, or only not ask that question. Like I said, in this week's email, it's both sides of the same coin. And starting with the question of what can women do in the church depends on the situation, I think. If it's I'm being told that I can't do this and it's wrong, and we'll come back to that a little bit later, then starting with what can women do in the church is a good and beneficial question. But there's often other larger considerations at play as well, beyond simply, can I do this? Can't I do this? We've talked about some of those already this summer, and we'll hit some more of them later this week, especially dealing with building up the body of Christ and permissible versus beneficial, especially focusing on beneficial. And having that conversation on what can women do in the church sometimes tends to shut down the rest of the conversation, I think. We tend to lose the, is this a good idea? Maybe we can do it, but is it a good idea? And that's always, I think, a great follow-up question to ask. Is this a good idea? Is it beneficial, not only for me, but also for my entire congregation? And that's sometimes a better question to ask than, can I do this?
Thanks for that clarification, Christy. I think I needed that in my head just to understand the approach to the question. When I think about that question being asked the way you talked about it in the second way, I think that what it misses is the partnership that works together towards building up the body of Christ, that partnership that God gives us in our interdependent, complementary male-female design. And I think I know as a woman being invited to use my gifts and talents feels a lot better than stepping in and taking charge and saying, what can I do? And then also for me to recognize that when I am using my gifts, how do I do it in a way that also builds up the body of Christ and doesn't violate, you know, that headship by just taking charge? And so I think the partnership, the design of God's body of Christ working together to share his word, that's what gets lost, I think, when you approach it with what can women do in the church?
I agree. I kind of heard the imagined what I would feel like if a man said that, if a man stood up and said, hey, what can women do? If somebody else is kind of looking out for me and saying, I want to get, you know, women involved and what can we do and how can we engage more people in ministry using their gifts? That's just a tremendous encouragement. And I just, that was a way that I would like to hear the question asked, but yeah, there's definitely some conversation we need to have yet.
And I don't want to say I've been guilty of this because that makes it sound like it's a wrong thing to do. But I would say that I've focused more on can than maybe I should have because we're so used to hearing can't, or it feels like we're so used to hearing can't. And so the natural reaction to that is go to can. And again, it's not wrong. It's not bad, but it should always be partnered with or followed up with, can and beneficial, both, like you said, Dawn, partnerships, and how do we build those partnerships? It isn't that CAN doesn't get to those partnerships. It just doesn't maybe get to them as strongly as it could.
And I'm just going to circle back around. I would just give the encouragement to any, you know, men or pastors or leaders that are listening to this, that there are so many women that do not want to violate this principle in at all. They want to honor God. And so asking them, like Naomi said, how can we get you involved? How can you serve? What are areas that we can develop and look for? And just that, that makes and opens up the conversation in just such a blessed way that I think God is honored when the lead is taken by those who are in a position to make it happen.
So listening to the things you just said tells me that there's perhaps better ways in looking at how women serve in the church than just asking, what can I do? And I think one of the things that the devotion brought out was that adiaphora at times is used to say, oh, well, I can do whatever I want or anything I want. Maybe anything I want is better. Why isn't this always a good idea, especially when it comes to talking about those callings God has given to us as men and women?
Well, I think, you know, areas of adiaphora are something that sometimes we like those because we want to be able to say, I can do this. I can do this. And we focus on the liberties that we have in Christ. And it's almost as if, you know, sometimes it appeals to us because we think we get to do something that other people think maybe we can't. And it kind of can become selfishly motivated. And yet what Paul's really teaching is that there are times that it isn't clear what the best thing to do is. And so God doesn't tell us exactly what to do in every situation. And so I think I look at adiaphora more as just an opportunity for people to demonstrate Christian maturity and to say, this isn't about, can I push the envelope? This isn't, can I put my toes on the line? This is really a question that fits with the other teachings of Paul about looking to the interests of others and considering what will benefit others the most. This is a place where people get to step up and say, I get to make a decision that will be best for the people in my church and the best for the body of Christ and the best for the unbelieving world that needs to hear the gospel. And so a lot of this is your attitude in how you're asking the question. And there's a really good way to ask this question.
I think even discussing the conversation or the word adiaphora really brings it back to, is this principle or is this application? When we're considering any of this. And I think as we've been saying, this is an ongoing spiritual discussion that we get to continually have as we work with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But there have been, you know, cultural norms out there that have worked their way into the church that are not the principle that God gives us in his word. And I think as we see that word adiaphora on both sides, we're not going to just say, oh, it doesn't apply and I can do whatever I want as far as application is concerned. But we're also going to say, hey, have there been some things that we've been going on that in the spirit of adiaphora, where it's neither commanded or prohibited as far as application is concerned, we do have to wrestle with that and come back to that and really come to what the principle is out of respect, in respect of people, you know, around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Both of you brought out such important points about adiaphora that I don't know how much I have to add, but we'll see. Naomi, your first one was that this isn't always a question of I can do anything I want, because I know I tend to make it all about me. And I think we're all sinful, so we always, you know, tend to make it all about ourselves. That's a part of the conversation of adiaphora, but that's not the entire conversation. It's not just me in a church by myself. It's me and everybody else. And everybody else is way more important than I am when we talk about the body of Christ. And so adiaphora is not an I can do anything I want. It's a what practice is most beneficial for the church, for the ministry setting that I'm in. And to take it a step further, what practice is most beneficial for the ministry setting that I'm in right now? And that might change from ministry setting to ministry setting. That's the beauty of adiaphora. And Dawn, this is where you got back into applications as well. applications don't have to look the same in every single congregation, in every single ministry setting. And that's a beautiful example of how adiaphora plays out correctly when you're talking about it in a church. You're going to look different from ministry setting to ministry setting, from body of believers to body of believers. And as long as everyone's coming at it from a good point of how are we addressing adiaphora in order to both try to utilize the gifts of our members and build up the body of Christ as best we can, then it might look different. And that's okay. That's our right. But that's hard for us to get past. And it's really hard to see a different congregation doing something different and not sinfully have an issue with that. I think that's tricky.
I think sometimes too, there's just this spirit or this thought, an aura of it, that if there's a question of doubt, then, you know, then women shouldn't. I feel like the deference that we go to is step down, step back, step away, because, you know, that's just as if they tie that to our role, as if that's tied to our calling as a helper or the submission that we offer to those who lead. And so that's kind of this feeling that there is. And when you're in a situation of adiaphora where there really isn't a distinct right and wrong and you're struggling to find it, I just do feel that we need to be more careful in the countenance of those conversations, that it's not first assumed that women should always step back. And I feel sometimes like that, and maybe that's just me, but that is how I feel, that will be the assumption. Nor do I want it to be that I will always step forward. I would really want these situations to be guided and covered and smothered with ideas of how do we find what's best for the church? And that isn't automatically stepping back or stepping down. It's automatically going to scripture and looking at the kingdom and being led by the word. And so I just think that's a huge part of this too.
And that is done so much more easily when you have relationship built. And so yes. Sometimes, you know, like this isn't right out of the gate. This isn't where you start. These kind of things are discussed after relationships and discussions about other, you know, you are working in partnership and building that trust and love and desire for God's kingdom to grow together. And then it becomes so much easier to tackle these items that are adiaphora and have conversations about them.
It also becomes so much easier, Naomi, I think you were the one who referenced this earlier, when spiritual maturity comes into play as well. And this is something that everybody is continually growing in, because we're never going to get it perfect on this side of heaven. But when spiritual maturity, when you are working with brothers and sisters who are spiritually mature, that also really makes it easier and really helps it to be more of a conversation and less of a automatically stepping forward or stepping back.
So you've touched on it a little bit, you know, just talking about what women, when it comes to what women can do in the church, there tends to be some different groups, we might say. And I know, Christy, you mentioned it just a bit in the devotion. You know, there are certainly those brothers and sisters who are might be struggling with a particular concept or a particular application of how, you know, of what women can do in the church. And you might have a struggle with people, you know, brothers and sisters who thoughtlessly issue a prohibition where God hasn't given us one. And for all I know, there's probably some other groups that might pop up between there or, you know, come at it from a different aspect. I guess, how do our actions and our attitudes change when dealing with those groups of people?
I think the answer to that question comes with a lot of prayer to God that he gives wisdom and guidance and discernment, because that is never easy. God's word just gets dismissed and it is tromped on, and we look a little bit more like the world. And perception is reality as far as the way people see things, and somebody might see something and think that's wrong, whereas there are going to be other people who use this, you know, as an opportunity to trump over what God's word has to say. And that's not right either.
And that prayer, at least for me, is not always the first place I go, which is not a helpful thing, nor is it something that I want to admit. But my sinful nature really, really just wants to jump into every situation. And engaging in prayer, first and foremost, is probably, not probably, is the place that I should go. And I don't. I wish that I would, because I think that would help me in knowing how to navigate these two different situations. And Naomi, you had talked about stepping forward versus pulling back. If I am dealing with a thoughtless or an incorrect prohibition, I am going to be much more likely to step up because I am being told I can't do something. And this is going to sound trite, but there isn't a good reason for it. Or Dawn, like you said, it's putting man's system ahead of God's. And that's okay. It's okay for me to do that. But the prayer part comes in is I need to do that respectfully and still taking people's words and actions in the kindest possible way. We've circled around that an awful lot this summer as well. It's both. And so I do have the right to step up in those situations, but I also have the responsibility to still step up in a loving and respectful way.
Yeah, Christy, I agree. I think that when we see those things happening that we feel like, you know, somebody really needs to give this a little bit more thought, that we understand, again, here's part of putting that maturity and the best construction on things, that, you know, maybe we haven't heard the whole story. Maybe we don't know everything that's been discussed, but I do think that we step up and ask questions and encourage more conversation, not because we're challenging people and not because we're going to stand up for our rights, but because we really do want what's best for the church. And so I think you're right, Christy, we do that with maturity. Dawn, you're right. We do that with prayer and wisdom. Absolutely. But I will say that more often, much more often, what I see are people that are really struggling to understand and wrestle with the concept. People that, like Dawn said, really want to follow the principle. They want to do the right thing. And they're genuinely stuck. Like, this is a difficult thing to apply. And what do I need to know? What thoughts do I need to have? And they're looking at scripture and they're thinking about the other person and the benefit of the kingdom. Man, I want to stand alongside those people and cheer them on and encourage them and pray for them and with them and point them to God's word, because that is where the church is. We are struggling, not in a, oh no, we're not going to make it way, but in a way that says we want to do what's best and shows the most love. And there are so many people like that around us. And that's encouraging to me, that we are having those conversations and wrestling with things.
And I think when I have been in a situation like this, where, you know, either there's something that is erroneous or whatever, in those times when I have had a leader in our church or a pastor be my advocate, be my mentor through that situation, and that struggle has become a partnership instead of me feeling all alone or frustrated in that, that's where God's kingdom shines. And that is a blessing. And so again, I encourage, where there are opportunities to, you know, if you are a woman who's struggling with this and saying, okay, there's some prohibition, as Christy did, go talk to your pastor, talk to the leaders in your congregation, make this a partnership and something that you're working together on instead of feeling isolated and alone, because that's what the devil wants. Like I said, for me, I have had the blessing of that headship, and it looks like an advocate. It looks like a mentor. It looks like a partner. And so, you know, for both men and women, how can you be a part of that solution that God has given us in his original design, instead of watching from the sidelines and being like, well, I hope this situation works out.
And I think having that conversation also helps you figure out which situation you're in. Are you in a situation where there is a genuine struggle going on, or are you in a situation where there is a perhaps thoughtless or erroneous prohibition being issued? It's sometimes really hard to figure out that situation when you're just looking at it and saying, this is what's happening in my church. But when you have those conversations and when you develop those partnerships, it becomes so much easier to figure out people's motives is not the right word, but reason and rationale and where they're at. You know where you're at, but it's so much easier when you have those conversations to figure out where other people are at as well.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what, when you were saying that, Christy, what was going through my mind is, but what really helps the most is when people have been in God's word. When they don't just say, what can women do? Let's open the Bible and see if we can find an answer to that one question. That's when it's hard. But when people are in the Word of God and they're listening to the whole counsel of Scripture and they understand the importance of the plan of salvation and God's design and the whole, you guys know it. I mean, all of the things that God wants to teach us and the ways that he wants to shape our thinking. When we have that mindset and that love and respect for Scripture, when we walk into conversations, then we are well equipped to come in with the right spirit and look for the right answer, and not be afraid and not feel like we have to step down or grab everything we can grab onto, but to just come in that solid foundation of the Word of God. And that's going to get us to where we need to go.
And that is why we started all the way back in Genesis at the beginning of the summer, right? So my encouragement to you, if you've just picked us up now, is go back to the beginning of this series, because that's what we are trying to model.
Christy, could you then give us a picture or a sneak peek of where we are going in the second half of this week?
So the second half of this week, like usual, is, okay, we've talked about these things in the abstract. What happens in your congregation? What happens with a can versus should? There's a fun picture to kick off the second email that I really like about a fence and a playground. So we'll leave you with that teaser and encourage you to come back on Thursday and read about that one.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to continuing this discussion later on this week and hope that you will be there. See you then.